Acts chapter 8. So we come in at a period, of course, after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. We come in at a time where the church has been empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, and they're out doing great works, and the church is growing. And there's some people in the church who say, well, I'm not getting what I need out of the church, and nobody ever comes to see me and take care of me. And so they have deacons appointed, and they ordain the deacons. And one of those deacons' name is Philip. And then we find Philip in chapter 8. First, Philip went to Samaria, and people got saved. People, their lives were changed. Why? Because he was preaching Jesus. He was preaching the Word of God, and people were hearing the Word of God, and they were being touched in their heart and realizing that they could know God personally, have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that they could pray that they'll eventually spend eternity with God in heaven and not go to hell, not suffer that. So they turned to God and they had revival. And the Bible says that they had great joy. There was joy in that city in verse number 8. Great joy in that city. And we were singing just a moment ago, we shall come rejoicing. And I looked out there and saw all of your rejoicing faces. And I thought, hallelujah, right? Rejoicing. Y'all know how to rejoice? Y'all know how to rejoice? Get excited? I know some people were just laid back and we don't jump up and shout and all that kind of stuff. But that's what rejoicing is. They're a little fan with a wink on it. Thank you. So we've got a big smile. So we have rejoicing. When you talk about Jesus and you talk about heaven, at least then is there some joy? At least then is there some hope bubbling over? Some life pouring out? It says when Philip preached, there was joy. There's when I finish preaching, there's joy. I know, I understand that. Great rejoicing. Comment this morning about Moses' sermon. It was a long sermon, right? Sometimes it just works out that way. But many found Jesus, and when they found Jesus, they found joy. When we have fear, we don't have joy. And when we have love, we have joy. And that joy that you have when you're around somebody that you love, here at church among the brothers and sisters of the church, and at home when you're with your family, especially if your family comes into your home, right, and visits with you, that's great joy. At least for a period of time it is. And so we have joy in our relationships and joy. And it's great when you see somebody. I don't know how it is for you, but when I see somebody that I like, I smile. There's this joy that erupts in me. And same thing here. There's joy, erupting joy. Rejoicing. And that's how it should be in the Christian life as we have that walk with God and our communion with God and our intimacy with God. And that's what they found because they put their trust in Christ. And Philip's enjoying that. Of course he is. As he preaches and people get saved, he feels like he's making a difference. And then God says, Philip, the Bible actually says the angel of the Lord, said, Philip, I want you to go down to Gaza. What's in Gaza? Does anybody know what's in Gaza? Desert. Desert. But in verse number 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. But I'm having fun here, Lord. Is that what he said? I don't see that anywhere. But there's nobody there, Lord. I don't see that anywhere. He said, go to Gaza, which is desert. And think about that. Has God ever spoken to you and told you to go somewhere or do something and you didn't understand it? Anybody? He just laid it on your heart and you thought, well, that doesn't make any sense. God lead me to do that. So maybe you didn't quite understand it, but he laid it on your heart. Well, the Lord spoke to Philip and he said, go. Verse 27, he arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia. a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So we find out why Philip went to the desert, to Gaza. Okay, did you see that? Break it down. A man. In verse 27, a man. Not a crowd, a man. You mean you pulled me away from all those people? God, I could have been preaching to hundreds of people or dozens of people, and I could have reached that. You pulled me all the way down here to the desert for one man? Yep. Don't ever question God. Don't ever question God. Sometimes God will give us opportunities where we can minister to many, but many times God gives us opportunity where we can minister to one. One. How do people get saved? One at a time. One. I can't get saved for you. You can't get saved for me. I had to get saved, just me and Jesus, and you have to get saved, just you and Jesus. Doesn't mean nobody helped. Maybe somebody was there to guide you along in your prayer or guide you along in your understanding. But it is a one-person function. So we see it's one man. Number two, he's a powerful man. He's connected with the queen. He's in charge. He has authority. He's powerful. He's in charge of the treasury. Right? He's got money. It might not be his money, but he's got access to money. And I imagine that someone in that position of power certainly had, he had no wants. And then finally, what do we see about him? He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He was a man of faith, of Jewish faith. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So at least he has a desire toward God. He may not know God, but he wants to know God. He's searching for God. And so what does he do? He goes to Jerusalem and he enjoys the festival, the feast. He maybe sees the temple. It doesn't give us his whole agenda, his itinerary, but we know he went there. We know he went to worship. And so he's there in search of God, in search of an intimate connection with God. A personal connection with God. I hope you have one. I hope you have a personal connection with God. See, I don't have to go to Jerusalem to find a personal connection with God. You don't have to go anywhere to get a personal connection with God. Right now, from your heart to God's heart, you can say, God, I need you. I trust you. I accept you as my God and Jesus as my Savior and ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. You can do that now where you are. You don't have to travel to church. You don't have to travel to Jerusalem. You just have to pray from your heart to God. And He will hear your prayer. But this man traveled to Jerusalem. He went to the festival, the feast. He's traveling back. He's in a chariot. He's in comfort, right? And he's reading. Verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot. Read Isaiah the prophet. He's reading Isaiah the prophet. He's reading the Bible. And Philip ran there to him. So what do we see there? We see urgency. Philip, the deacon, the servant of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed with the power of God, led by the Spirit of God, the angel of the Lord says, go to Gaza, leave the crowd, go to that one desert place. He gets there. Maybe there's nobody around. I don't want to make assumptions, but there's only one we see. And that's a man in his chariot reading the Scripture. And Philip runs to that. And he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, how many of us have ever been reading the Bible and kind of got stumped? Reading something and go, whoa, what does that mean? Yeah. He's an educated man. Powerful. Connected. He desires to know God. And by the way, let me tell you something. You want to know God, get in this book. Read this book. How many of you men wish your wife came with an owner's manual? Ladies, how many of you wish he would read it? Right? If he would just read the owner's manual, he'd be better off. I hope it's got diagrams in it because we don't follow instructions very well. And so he's reading it, and if we'll read God's word, we'll know more about him. Guys, what do you know about God? Just what other people tell you? Or do you know what God's word says about God? This is the inspired word of God. This is God's book about himself. Understandest thou what thou readest? Verse 31. And the eunuch said, how can I except some man should guide me? He needed some help, didn't he? Let me tell you this. If you come across something in the Bible and need some help, you have a church full of people you can call and get some help. And you call and you say, hey, what do you get out of this verse? And maybe you get an answer. If not, you can kick it up maybe to one of the deacons. Right? And you call one of the deacons and say, what do you get out of this verse? And maybe you solve it. Maybe you get the answer you're looking for or the answer that you should get, right? But we have people in the church that we can turn to. Maybe it's your friend. Maybe you have a devotion partner. Maybe it's your spouse or a family member. But you call and you say, hey, I came across this in the Bible and I'm having a little trouble with it. We have access to call people. Well, this man's sitting in a desert in his chariot reading the Bible and he goes, whoa, I don't get this. Please, when you read your Bible, make sure you make some sense of it. Don't just read it and walk away and forget what it says. Read it so you can understand it. Read it so you can learn something from it. He's reading it. He doesn't understand it, but he keeps reading. Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I? Can you really expect me to understand what this book says? Except someone guide me. So if we need help, we have other people to turn to, and that means that if others need help, they have you to turn to, right? Which means every one of us needs to be in this book. And he desired Philip to come up and sit with him. Come up here and sit with me. Let's go over it together. Would you help me? How many of you would help me if I called you and said, I'm stumped in the Bible, I need some help? How many of you would help me? Come on, people, help me out, would you? Y'all wouldn't help me if I called now. I'm going to make a list this week. I'm going to call. What do you get out of this verse? Right? I would expect that you would at least get your Bible and look at it and see what it says. And so he got up in the chariot. Verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other? Is this about him? And I can understand why the eunuch was having trouble, because sometimes in the Bible, like this morning in Deuteronomy, sometimes it shifts gears and you're trying to figure out who said that and to whom were they speaking, or of whom were they speaking it. And Philip, verse number 35, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, which is Isaiah, right? And preached unto him Jesus. What do people want to know about? Jesus. You know what people want to know? They want to know how they can get to heaven, how they can get peace in their heart, how they can get their sins washed away, how they can get their past buried, right? Gone. How they can have liberty and freedom. how they can know God, how they can pray. A lot of things people want to know, it begins with Jesus. It begins with Jesus. People need salvation. They need Jesus. They start wanting to talk about, well, what do y'all believe about dancing? It doesn't matter. What do y'all believe about smoking? Well, it doesn't matter. What do y'all believe about, name something. Anyway, nah, don't start. We'll name everybody else's problems, won't we? Hey, look, it doesn't matter what we believe about any of that stuff until you understand what we believe about Jesus. It's our job to share Jesus. All those other things are distractions. What do y'all talk about? What do y'all teach about hell? That's a distraction. Let's deal with what we talk about, how to know God, how to get to God. Let's get you inside first and then deal with everything else. But you're just going to stand on the outside. Those are just distractions. He preached to him Jesus. What does your church believe? Jesus. They went on their way, verse 36. They came to certain water. The eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What did he preach to him? Jesus. What was part of that message? That Jesus was crucified, that he was buried, and that he rose the third day. Which is what baptism represents, that we die to ourselves, we bury our past, and we're risen to walk in newness of life. That's what the Bible teaches. It's part of the message. You say, well, Pastor, I got saved. Do I need to get baptized? You do. You won't go to heaven because you're baptized. You won't be kept out of heaven because you're not baptized. But it's part of God's program, part of God's plan is for us to signify to the world that we have buried our past. And we're risen to walk in life, in a new life, newness of life. And so they went down in the water. He asked the question. He says, verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Do you believe? He preached to him Jesus. Not the 12 doctrines or the 27 doctrinal statement points. Jesus. What do you believe? I believe Jesus died for my sins. He went to the tomb and rose the third day. I believe he's ascended to high and he's on the right hand of the Father. I believe that he sent the Holy Spirit of God, the presence of God, to dwell inside of me so that there's never a loss of connection, so that he's always with me because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I've always got that constant connection with God, and that means he's always aware of what I'm doing, that I ought to always be aware of his presence, that there's no place I can go that God doesn't go with me. You ever look over your shoulder to see if your husband's watching or your wife's watching or your dad's watching or your mom's watching or your kid's watching or the preacher's watching? It doesn't matter. God's watching. And not a single secret thing I do or you do. You can lock all the doors, turn off all the lights, and say those ugly things in your mind and not say it out loud, and God still knows. There's nothing hidden. What doth hinder me to be baptized, to walk in newness of life? Why did he go to Jerusalem? To worship. He wanted to worship God. He didn't know God. He was searching for God. He's reading the Bible. Why? Because he's searching for God. Because something was missing. He had money. He had authority. He had connection. He probably had recognition or fame, as we call it. People knew him. But there was something missing. Everything that the world says you could get in life, he already had, but something was missing. He needed a personal relationship with God. He went to church. It didn't satisfy. He went to worship. It didn't satisfy him. There was still no personal relationship. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he said. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both of them to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And then if you'll notice in verse number 39, they were coming up out of the water and the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip and the eunuch saw him no more. He traveled all that way for one man. It was purposed. There was a reason. There was a mission. One person. Let me ask you, how far will we go to help one person find Jesus? Just one. Well, I'm not going to church unless, you know, I only go to Sunday morning because that's when the crowd's there. I think in these times, that's when you'd want to not go. Go on Wednesday night because there's not a crowd. Let me tell you something. We're going to have church if one person shows up. I'll figure out how to turn the camera on and preach to the camera. Now, look, that's not the fulfillment of our calling. It's the fulfillment of mine, but it's not the, as a church. We're supposed to be out there helping people find the Lord. Amen. Pointing them to Jesus. The whole gospel, the whole truth. And sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes it's out of the way. Sometimes it seems like it's, you know, not enough. God said, Philip, I need you to go to Gaza to the desert. Why? I got one guy down there I need you to help. Just one? Look, there's a lot of people here. I got one guy I need you to go help. One. That one friend of yours, that one neighbor, that one coworker. Let's help him find the Lord. Let's stand. He preached unto him Jesus. What's the message? What is it we need to be sharing? Jesus. Jesus. Nothing else matters. Doctrines. Jesus. Let's get them saved first. Show them the way of salvation first. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house this morning. Thank you for the testimony that we've read about Philip, the deacon, and how that he went to great distance at your direction to reach one. And it was a fruitful journey because you had prepared his heart and he was searching for you. God, take us to people this week who we can help find the way of salvation. Give us the words, the opportunity, and the heart. God, if there's anyone this morning here in this room that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray right now that they will be drawn to you and find their way of faith in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your opportunity. The altar is open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. How important is it to reach one? One. One at a time. This is your opportunity. Have to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Leave what it is you're doing. I got one that I need you to reach. By the way, you'll notice that the Bible says that the eunuch went away rejoicing. Well, once he had Jesus, he had joy. Personal communion with God. glad you're here. Are you glad to be here? Amen. This is when y'all rejoice, right? When I'm done. Okay. Let's, Sister Betty Gatlin, I don't know if I mentioned it, but she's not feeling well today. Pray for her, all right? Any others? Mm-hmm. All right. All hearts and minds are clear. We go to Lord in dismissal prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy, if you will, dismiss us.